T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
It's picked up by Mooney. Eyes looking left and right as he throws cross court. Culver, the pump, the three. Good! Shot clock down to 5. Got the screen. Here's a three. Good! Oh, that was a big time three. Outside, Moretti, three. Good!
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
That is some NCAA tournament COD for you from Kevin Harlan, one of the best broadcasters in the business. This hour on The Score brought to you by Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on 95th Street in Oak Lawn. Carlos Zambrano is going to be in studio in less than 20 minutes. He signed a contract with the Chicago Dogs for the 2019 season. He will be in studio for 2 segments coming up in less than 20 minutes. Cannot tell you how excited I am to get some stories out of Big Z. But, again, the McNeil and Parkin Show mob, you guys are doing a great job. I was at a concert last night, which I know might surprise a lot of you. It's at the Old Town School of Funk Music. Very small venue on Lincoln I had never been to. Went to Bad Apple before. Got some burgers. It was fantastic. Good buddy of mine, friend of mine from growing up. We've fallen out of touch, but he's really good friends with some of my really good friends. But great kid, grew up a few doors down from me. Harris Passeltiner is in a really successful band called Darlingside, if anyone likes folk music. And I had never seen them live. I'd listened to a bunch of the stuff on the internet, and they were in town. And so me and some friends, and I saw some old friends and an old teacher, and it was amazing. It was an amazing night. But I was off social media for 3+ hours, and if you know me, you know that was really tough. And when I got into the Uber to go home, what do I see in my mentions? Not much about the Cubs game, not much about the NBA playoffs, except for the McNeil and Parkin Show mob letting Tanny and myself know that we finally had some NBA playoff COD to review. So if you don't know, ever since the NFC Championship game, when Greg Zuerlein made his famous kick, this is when we got on the COD kick. Can we remind people of the COD gold standard? Oh, we have the short COD. We have the
COD.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That is the gold standard of COD. But now we've had NCAA tournament, we've had NFL, we finally have NBA playoff COD. I'm told we have 3 different NBA playoff CODs to grade, so let's hear NBA playoff COD number 1.
Bogdanovich will try to get it, he's doubled. Matthews, 3, good!
Finally.
Big time shot.
Okay, well that's a could. He's got a GC problem.
Yeah, we're grading on a scale here, so the COD scale, not fairly high.
No. The goal is COD. The goal is not could. The goal is not even good. I mean, Kevin Harlan's goal is good, obviously. Kevin Harlan,
could!
He's trying to say good. But there it sounds like he was saying could, but on the COD scale, that's an old, expired, you should not be eating that sort of COD. That is low-grade COD. Okay.
Could!
Let's hear, but that's high-grade could. In fairness, save that one, Tanny. Let's be sure we don't lose that, because that's about as good as it could get.
Good!
Let's hear COD, NBA playoff COD number 2, please.
Shot clock at 4, Bogdanovich.
It's a COD!
Another 3!
Did I say Old Town School of Funk Music? My bad. That's how little I know about music. Old Town School of Folk Music, my buddy plays in a folk group, Darlingside. They're great. Check them out. I need to hear that one again. I apologize. Give me NBA playoff COD number 2.
Shot clock at 4, Bogdanovich.
It's a COD!
Another 3!
That's COD. That's CODY COD, right? That's on the COD scale. It's more
it's a COD!
That's more COD than could. We in agreement? Shep, Tanny, we in agreement here.
I mean, I've been on the could thing for a while with him.
Well, NBA,
and it's just sounding more and more like could to me.
More and
He's
more
in
like
his own head.
He's in his own head.
Well, he's trying to overcompensate for the cod, and now it's a good cod.
Well, did you hear
it's a cod?
Did you hear the first one, or do you think you were out of the studio? Play number one for Shep, because if he's on the could train, this is as could as good could get.
Bogdanovich will try to get it. He's doubled. Matthews, three. Could! Finally. Big time shot.
That's complete could.
That is
like
could.
It's a quick could, but it's complete could.
Could!
Could! If that was on the radio, people wouldn't know if he made it or not. They'd be like, he could make it. What happened? Give us the score.
It's 100% could.
Okay. All right, so we have
good cod.
We have one could. We have one cod. Let's hear NBA playoff cod number three.
Here comes Brown. Foot race with Collison. Outside it goes. Tatum, three. Cod!
That's the gold standard, boys. That's the one.
Cod!
We have our benchmark. And Kevin Harlan will be there through the conference finals. So we've got two more rounds of COD submissions, but I just want to thank all of you who are listening for Kevin Harlan broadcasts. Yes, for the voice of NBA 2K and the great calls and the man who just loves sporting events. Sure, he's a great broadcaster. But also for the COD references, because I can't be listening to every single word he says. I got Cubs games to watch. I got folk and funk music to confuse. I'm a busy man. But the McNeil and Parkin Show mob, you guys are out there for the Zackles in these Cubs radio streets and the Cods in these Kevin Harlan broadcasts. You guys are doing the Lord's work, and we appreciate you very much.
Cod!
It's Cod work you're doing out there. Now, speaking of the NBA playoffs momentarily, the Warriors are tied 1-1 going to L.A. tonight, and Carlos Zambrano will be in studio shortly. But they lost 1-1. They blew the biggest lead in NBA playoff history. Patrick Beverley, Chicago kid, in case you can't hear, maybe future Bulls point guard, is disrupting and upsetting Kevin Durant. He's gotten into some one-on-one battles with him. It's been a thing. Kevin Durant was, I thought, incredibly eloquent and insightful and a little cocky, which I like. I'd rather have honest cockiness than fake humbleness from my athletes. But here is Kevin Durant on what happened with the Clippers and what will happen going forward.
Let's go back to the whole last month of the season. We've been playing this way for a while. And when we got to the series, game one, we had some nice momentum. They're playing a gimmick defense, which has been working, top blocking everything on the perimeter. So guys not even looking at the three-point line. They're just forcing guys inside the three-point line. So for us, when I get the ball in my spots, I got a pest, Patrick Beverley, who was up underneath me. Well, I could definitely shoot over top and score every time if it's a one-on-one situation. But we got a guy that's dropping and helping, and then we got another guy that's just sitting on me waiting for me to dribble the basketball. If I put the basketball on the floor, I can probably make 43% of my shots if I shoot them like that. But that's not really going to do nothing for us with the outcome of the game, because we got a nice flow. Everybody touching the rock, everybody shooting and scoring. So I'm not going to get in the way of the game because I want to have a little back and forth with Patrick Beverley. I'm Kevin Durant. Y'all know who I am.
I love that on a number of levels. One, I love it on the stunt at the end. I'm not going to get into a one-on-one thing with Patrick Beverley. I'm Kevin Durant. Looks around. You all know who I am. It's like Walter White in Breaking Bad. When the guy goes, I don't know who the hell you are. He goes, yes, you do. You know exactly who I am. Say my name. He goes, you're Heisenberg. And that's what Durant's doing. Like, say my name. You know who I am. I'm Kevin effing Durant.
Say my name.
Exactly. That's what he's doing there. He's like, listen, that was a one-off thing. That's an outlier. That's an exception. Sure, I could shoot over him, but I'm not going to do that. He broke down how they're playing defense, what's going on and going forward. The interesting thing is that Steve Kerr has said that he wants Kevin Durant to be more aggressive, to go more one-on-one, to get 20-plus shots up in a game, and Durant's trying to play within the flow of the offense. So that's where it gets really interesting, is Durant going to get sucked into it? Because the Warriors are the favorite, but they're not the overwhelming favorite anymore. They're just not. when they lose DeMarcus Cousins, when they've got this thing hanging over their head with Durant possibly leaving, they're clearly the favorite, but they don't have the same depth that they've had in years past, and now they don't have the same size that they've had in years past. So tonight's one to stay up for. Clippers-Warriors 1-1 in L.A. with this game within the game stuff. That's pretty awesome, and I thought that was some of the best that I've heard, honestly, from Kevin Durant, because he's got some issues with the media and trust and being honest, honestly, because he's been burned a few times, and then he uses burner accounts to defend himself when he thinks he's burned, which is a Herb move. But whatever, not Herb Lawrence, but just like being a Herb. You know what I mean.
I think it's a Herb Lawrence move.
Oh, yeah, Herb.
I got this burner account and bleep.
I don't think that he would do that. I hope not. And I certainly wouldn't think you would do it if you were...
Hey, that man, A.S.
with a couple $100 million at Kevin Durant.
Yeah, if you follow Herb Lawrence on Twitter, at EchnerHall23, you would know that there's no filter there. There's no burner there. That is the burner.
Yeah, he just says it himself, which I respect about the man. But I thought that was great. Some of the best I've ever heard of Kevin Durant. But you all know who I am. I'm Kevin Durant. Little baseball news. Chris Davis has signed a 2-year extension with the A's, so another free agent off the board. Even the A's are getting into the sign them early free agency kick. So 2 years, I saw $33 million, maybe $35. I've seen conflicting reports. But Chris Davis, another guy extending early and foregoing free agency. It's the new trend in baseball. Still wouldn't worry too much about the Cubs not extending Bryant, Baez, Rizzo. Rizzo, because it's not going to be that expensive. We saw it with the Goldschmidt deal. He won't get the 5 years, 110 that Goldschmidt got. We'll see if he's worth paying when that time comes. Bryant, there's 3 years. Baez, there's 3 years. So it's still a little soon to sign a superstar of that caliber, to sign them that early. But more and more likely, the more of these guys sign, I think that the Cubs actually could be somewhat optimistic about signing one of their superstars early. I can't wait. I've got 1,000 things I could talk to him about. Feel free to text in what you'd like to hear. We're going to get into the comeback, his story with the Cubs, some of his infamous and famous moments. We're going to get Carlos Zambrano in studio for a couple of segments to tell some stories. Carlos Zambrano next on The Score.
Right-hander Carlos Zambrano.
Big Carlos Zambrano.
Double play ball. Second base line. On the first. The Cubs are the champions of the Central.
Zambrano, a 13-game winner during the regular season. He's made 2 postseason starts.
The big Z-man. Look at the scouting report on him. Throws a big, heavy sinker.
Zambrano gets strikeout number 9. He's retired 10 in a row.
Big Z deep to left. Gone.
Swung on and miss. And Zambrano showing the emotion that he said he would try to harness.
We're playing like a triple-A team. This is embarrassing.
And Lou's got to come out to keep his pitcher in the ballgame.
We should know better than this. We should know better than what we do.
Oh, he bumped him. You can't do that, Carlos.
We should play better here. With stings.
That's deep left field, and it will go!
And he extends his franchise record for pitchers, number 21.
Check swing and a miss, and that'll end the inning. Zambrano for a second straight inning works out of a bases loaded jam.
Fly ball. And for the first time in a century, back-to-back postseasons for the Cubs.
Here's a pitch.
Swing and a miss! A no-hitter! Astros! Oh, baby!
So many memories. Carlos Zambrano in a Cubs uniform. 3-time All-Star, 3-time Silver Slugger. 6 consecutive opening day starts for the Chicago Cubs, which is a franchise record. And he's not done making baseball memories as he has signed a contract to start a comeback with the Chicago Dogs. Tickets on sale now, chicagodogs.com. May 17th is their home opener, and it's a personal thrill. It's a huge fan of yours as a lifelong Cubs fan. Carlos Zambrano in studio on The Score. What's up, man?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. This is exciting, making a comeback.
It is, yeah.
Why now?
Well, I'm just obeying God, and see what happened. I mean, I'm ready. I'm working hard and building my arm. And I think, you know, this is going to be a good opportunity.
You said you've been working hard. How long have you been trying to come back or thinking about making a comeback?
Since the beginning of last year. And I signed last year with Leones de Yucatan, which is a Mexican league. I played there for 3 months.
How'd it go?
Good, good. I was a starting pitcher with that team, and then I went to Venezuela for winter ball. And, you know, I became a reliever in winter ball. So I like that role.
Oh, yeah. It's a relief pitcher.
Yeah, it's a relief pitcher.
How's the arm feeling? You still getting it up there?
Good, good. My arm is feeling great. I mean, I think this pulse and my arm is, you know, it's fresh and my arm is feeling good.
So is the goal the big leagues?
Yeah. It is. It is.
When I was reading the story the other day, you're like, hey, Bartolo Colon's 45. So,
yeah.
So why can't you do it?
Well, you know, he's a starting pitcher. I'm a reliever now, and I want to try, you know, make it to as a reliever.
Are you nervous?
No. No.
No.
I have nothing to lose, you know, just go out there and be obedient to what I heard from God.
So what you heard from God, you feel God spoke to you through a pastor, or how did that all come about?
Yeah, yeah. Five different pastors from different countries. They don't know each other. And there's one pastor that is in South Africa. His name is Nicky. He doesn't know nothing about baseball. He was one of the pastor that prophesied to me to come back to baseball.
Wait, so you were five different, you, so you didn't tell pastor number two that pastor number one?
No. I mean, in these 7 years, I have known God he's a sign, a God of signs. So the first pastor is from Argentina. He told me that God wanted me to go back to baseball and preach the gospel in baseball. The second pastor is from Texas. The third pastor is from Puerto Rico. The fourth pastor is from South Africa. And the fifth one is from Mexico. So they don't know each other. And they basically say the same thing to me in behalf of God.
So after the fifth pastor, you decided, okay.
I was crying. I was crying because I didn't want to come back to baseball, play baseball, and I was crying. My wife was next to me, and she was crying too because it was a strong word what he taught us in Mexico.
Why do you think God wants you to play baseball?
Because there's people that need the word of God. There's a marriage that need to be saved. It's not about the money. It's not about, as a matter of fact, what I'm making here with the dogs. I'm donating to charities here in Chicago and back in my country in Venezuela. So it's not about money. People think it's about money. No, it's not about money. There's people in the big leagues that need to hear God. They need to get closer to God, and there is a marriage that needs to be saved. So that's why I'm here.
A marriage that needs to be saved.
Because they're about to get in divorce, you know, so.
Between them and God, or do you mean like a literal marriage?
Between the two couples.
Oh, well, okay, so you believe in that. Okay.
There's a lot of problems in marriages.
Sure, of course. Marriage is hard.
Yeah.
And have you always been a religious person?
No. I grew up, and my dad taught me about, you know, the Bible, but I wasn't a Christian. I point to the sky because you know, my dad showed me, but it wasn't because I had a relationship with God or you know, because I was a Christian. So now I'm committed. I'm now on, and you know, everything that I have is belong to God, and it is because God.
So what made you go see the first pastor? Like, what made you start on this path towards a religious awakening?
Well, he was at my house. I invited him to my house to do. I was doing a barbecue for him, and you know, I brought a jersey, a Cubs jersey for him, and I gave it to him, and I said, you know, he thanked me, and he said, "Oh, you know what? I feel right now. I feel that the Lord, God is telling me that you are gonna be back in baseball. That you're gonna be back, and that God wants you to play. Go back." And play baseball again.
Wow. And so you don't believe him, right? Pastor
no.
number one, you don't believe.
No, I don't believe. I don't believe what he says. I say no. As a matter of fact, I told him, no, my time is over. I don't want to play baseball anymore. You're crazy, I told him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm done with baseball. And after the second one, I didn't believe him either.
So, you didn't believe pastor number two. Okay.
But the third one, I say, and before that, I start having dreams that I was playing, that I was in the field. But that was like 50, 60 dreams. I don't know. I don't remember. But it was night through weeks. And the dreams about me putting my spikes, being in the mound, pitching again. And, you know, one time I woke up early in the morning and say, God, what is this? Why I'm dreaming about playing baseball again? So, and then, you know, God sent these five messengers. And that's why I'm coming back.
Wow. That's as someone who's had baseball be such a big part of their life to now have it to be about something much bigger than baseball. How do you feel pressure?
No. If God says so, I believe it.
Okay, and so if it,
the time will reveal.
So if the comeback works, that's God's plan. If the comeback doesn't work, that's God's plan.
If it doesn't work, I don't hear good. these five pastors were wrong.
Okay, you'll question.
But remember one thing: God says go back into baseball. He doesn't say playing. I can be a coach in the big leagues, or I can be an analyst or whatever.
So just get back into baseball.
Yeah. So God never is never God's fault, you know.
Sure.
We may listen to God and we may listen wrong because we're human, but we may listen right, you know. So
right.
The problem is always in human beings.
Right, the problem is in us, not in the higher power. Carlos Zambrano with us. He's making a comeback with the Chicago Dogs. May 17th, their home opener. Tickets available at chicagodogs.com. How else have you changed since Cubs fans last saw you? Are you the same? What's the new Carlos Zambrano?
Well, you know, I don't like to talk about me, you know, but I say that let's see. Let's see during the season. Let's see how, you know, and also I don't believe and I don't care what the people says. You know, maybe there's people that say, you know, he's crazy or why he have to come back or, you know, a lot of things people will say. But I don't care. I just want to be obedient and play baseball again.
Well, you could see why people would be skeptical, right? I mean, you yourself didn't believe pastor number one or pastor number. It took five different pastors to tell you. So yeah. I'd imagine a lot of people listening to this right now are like, "Oh my God, Big Z, God's telling him to play baseball."
On the other hand, there's you know, good fans and good people,
sure,
friends, people that love the game and love the Cubs, that love, you know, the way I pitch, that, you know, like the idea, you know, and thanks for the support.
What are your favorite memories from your time with the Cubs?
I'll say the 2003. Even, you know, we lost against the Marlins, but that was a great season. And the team that we had was amazing. The chemistry that we had was amazing.
I didn't cry when you guys lost. I was 16.
I did.
You did?
Yeah. Me, Randall Simon was crying like a baby too.
Really? That's a big baby.
Yeah.
Right after game 7?
Yeah, right.
So not game 6 after.
No, game 7.
Okay. What was it like after game 6?
We still believe in the game six. We still believe, and we had a chance. We didn't put our head down, and fortunately, you know, what happened, you know, during game seven. But you know, after game seven, we lost, and it was sad in the clubhouse. We didn't have a word at what to say. So, you know, it was bad feeling.
Yeah. What's your regret or what if? Like, what when you think back on that team and that series, do you go to Bartman? Do you go to Alex Gonzalez at Shore? Like, what do you go to as your what if?
You know, I don't like to point at people, you know. We all made a mistake. We all make a mistake. And I would say a little bit of everything, you know.
Sure.
Everything that happened that in that series killed us.
Man,
you know, I gave up three runs in when we were ahead 3-1. Josh Beckett pitched that day against me. I gave up three runs in six innings, I believe. And but Josh Beckett came and pitched nine innings.
Yeah, I hate Josh Beckett.
So a little bit of everything, you know, that happened.
But it still hurts you.
It wasn't. It was not that play, Gonzalez or Bartman. No, I think, you know, each one of us contribute to lost the series.
So after that, you say you were crying, Randall Simon's crying. What else is going on in that clubhouse?
Quiet. Like, I mean, that was quiet. The clubhouse was, I mean, sad. It's a hard feeling when you lost like that. When you lose, knowing that you have the team to made it to be a champion.
We're talking to Carlos Zambrano, McNeil and Parkins on The Score. How much baseball are you watching today?
Well, if you ask me 2 years ago, none. Nothing. I don't watch baseball. But now I'm, you know, starting this year. Last year, I started to watch more games. And this year, every team, and as a matter of fact, I, you know, select the package of baseball in my house.
Oh, you got
which I didn't have.
You got the extra innings package.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you watch the Cubs mostly?
Every game. I watch every game that I want.
Any game that you want?
Any game.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
To watch every game. What did you think of, because you were a guy who showed a lot of emotion on the field, right?
Yeah.
What do you think of the discussion around what happened with Tim Anderson and the idea of throwing a bat? Because, I mean, you hit a few guys on purpose in your day, right? You hit Jim Edwards on purpose, right? Scott Rowland. Never?
Maybe Gene Edmonds.
I remember you hit Jim Edmonds on purpose in 04. I hope it was on purpose in 04.
Yeah, but no, I never hit Scott Rollins on purpose.
Never hit Scott Rowland on purpose. Okay.
So, what happened yesterday was an emotional, you know, he flipped his bat. You know, I think he had to strike him out and do the same, you know. I remember one time Brandon Phillips hit a home run of me and he started, you know, pimping, and the next at bat I strike him out and I do the same that he did in the mound. So, you know, I think I don't know. You know, I have to be in the game. So
if you make it back and the guy hits a home run off of you and flips his bat, and then he comes up next time, or if you're a reliever, you see him again a couple games later, what are you doing?
Well, let's see.
Okay.
First, put me in the big leagues, and then you will see.
Got to get you back to the big leagues. Carlos Zambrano, May 17th is their home opener. Chicago Dogs, thechicagodogs.com for tickets. Their stadium right off of 294. May 17th, the home opener. He's signing a contract. Hopefully, he'll be there opening day starter. We're going to do another segment, get some more stories out of Big Z. Carlos Zambrano in studio with us on The Score.
So Zambrano is ahead of Manny Ramirez. No balls and two strikes. Strikes him out to retire the side. As the crowd erupts, a 1-2-3 inning for Zambrano. The Dodgers nothing and the Cubs coming up.
Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall. As the Big Ten West champion Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Michigan State, and more. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Carlos Zambrano in studio with us, McNeil and Parkins on The Score. May 17th is the Dogs' home opener. Go to thechicagodogs.com, thechicagodogs.com. You can get bleacher seats for $9, infield box $16, home plate box for $25, thechicagodogs.com. They got $2 hot dogs on Wednesday, $2 domestic drafts on Thursdays. They got all sorts of specials, and you go see Carlos Zambrano and the Chicago Dogs again, their home opener, May 17th. Telling amazing stories during the break, and Cubs fans are just texting in. They want to hear so many stories from back in the day, right? We relive those times. What's your relationship like with Lou Piniella? How everyone wants to know, like, a Carlos Zambrano, Lou Piniella story.
Good. I get along with Lou great. I mean, he was a good manager. You know, people can say a lot of stuff about me. You know, I was days of that. But I never had a problem with managers.
Never?
Name one.
Who had a problem with you?
No, any manager that I had a problem with.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking about, I mean, Larry Rochelle was your pitching coach.
Yeah.
Right? You guys have a good relationship?
Oh, yeah. Ask him.
You and Dusty?
Great relationship.
Do you have a Lou Piniella impression?
Nah.
Everyone's got a Lou Piniella impression. But what about you and Ozzy?
Ozzy?
Yeah.
Good friend.
Good friend?
Yeah.
And so do you have any, like, what's a misconception that people have of Carlos Zambrano? Something that people think that maybe isn't really the case.
Well, one time my somebody was making a history of my, you know, my career. They went to interview my wife. I've been with my wife for 20 years, 19 years. It would be 20 years in December.
Congratulations.
Thanks. And somebody asked my wife if I hit her or treat her bad.
If you hit her?
Yeah. So that reporter asked my wife if I was rude to her. And my wife says, no, never. He's the most nicest man in the house. He never, you know, did nothing to me. But people think that I'm rude. People think that I'm, you know, and that happened everywhere. I mean, I'm going to Venezuela. People think that I always been in a bad mood, and it's not like that. You know, people mistreating me.
So people thought because you fought Michael Barrett and Derek Lee, that you'd fight your wife?
Maybe people, because I'm 6'5", 275 pounds or whatever.
Yeah.
People think that I'm, you know, that I'm rude.
Yeah.
I'm not. I mean,
do you have any regrets? Like, do you regret your temper back then? Were you too much of a hothead? Or do you have any regrets of your time as a Cub?
Sorry to say it again.
Do you have any regret? Like, you seem very changed, right? You seem calm. You have a lot of perspective. You have a purpose. You have this higher power.
That's the word.
That
you said it. Purpose.
Purpose. But so that's something that you have now, but you didn't have as a player. So, like, looking back now that you have that perspective and purpose, do you have any regrets?
Yeah. When you that's a good word. Because when you don't have purpose, when you don't know your purpose, you're going to live desperate for something.
You're going to live
desperate.
Desperate.
Yeah, desperate.
Okay.
Or you're going to live, you don't know why you're living for. And one day I thought about this. I say, when I die, you know, the Bible says that everyone that lives will give an account to God for their life. So when I die, God will ask me what I did with my life or what I did with what he gave me to preach the gospel. His question was he's not going to ask me how many games I win in the big leagues, how many all-star game did I win. No, he's going to ask me, you know, what you did with the talent that I give you to preach my word. So that's my purpose, to preach. I don't care what people think. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. I love the Lord, and I will preach the gospel everywhere I go. That's why I'm here.
And that's why you're doing the comeback with the dogs. And we were talking during the commercial break.
Yes. And again, I don't care what the people think. I care what God says about me.
Of course.
Period.
And you'll go back to Venezuela, and you're a pastor now. You'll speak in front of hundreds and thousands of people to try to spread the word.
Yes. In Venezuela, my pastor from Miami, I've been in that church since 2012. He sent me to Venezuela to, you know, form or guide leadership to make leadership in that church. There's two churches in Venezuela, in Puerto Cabello.
Yeah.
It's my hometown in Valencia. And, you know, I go there every month for 10 days and I do retreats. I do preaching. So that's what I'm doing in the last 2 years.
It's a very impressive story. I have so many things that I want to talk to you about. How fast can you throw right now?
Well, I was consistently throwing 89 to 91 in Venezuela. You know, I hit 94 once or twice, or, you know, a couple of times. But I was consistently from 89 to 91.
Okay. What about the bat? Can Big Z still swing? Can he still hit?
Yeah.
You guys should see the look he just gave me. Like, that was the dumbest question I've ever asked. and so you could still hit.
You think he's gonna say no?
Well, I was just okay. Fair enough. So do you think you could have been a designated hitter when you were in the big?
Nah, not now.
What about
when
you were in the big leagues back, you know, 2005? Could Carlos Zambrano have been a designated hitter?
Yeah. I mean, you know, David Peralta. As a matter of fact, he's coming to town tomorrow with the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Well, he was playing in the Venezuela Summer League, which is a, you know, not knowing league. He was playing in Venezuela in what they call Chavez League, because President Chavez back in the days, he made this league. And this guy, Peralta, was playing in that league. He was playing, and he was desperate to go back into baseball. He was a pitcher, and he got hurt, but he got good bat. So he became a right fielder. And now look who he is.
Sure. So
he's an all-star.
Yes, right. So
if you have the ability, why not?
So you're going to hit for the dogs?
No, I don't think so. Maybe.
You know, but maybe if you're a big league team, if you make it back to the big leagues as a reliever, game goes 15, 16 innings, they need a pinch hitter, maybe you get out there.
I think they have so many good hitters in the big leagues to use me as a hitter.
Okay.
You know, that's Shohei Ohtani that can do that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking. When he came over, I was like, I could have been Big Z.
Not everybody's Shohei Ohtani.
Okay. What about you and
Sam? That's a special case.
Yeah, he's pretty ridiculous. What about you and Sammy? You guys still in touch, Sammy Sosa?
I used to, but he changed his number. I don't know why, but he changed his number.
Okay.
But I used to have his number till 6 months ago.
Oh, okay. How's he doing?
He's doing good. He's doing business.
Yeah.
Doing good.
Do you think that he should come back with the Cubs? Do you have an opinion on that?
I think he should come back.
I would like him to.
Anybody that played for the Cubs that long, you know, have to, you know, come to Chicago and see what happened.
For sure. Would that be your dream if you made it back to the big leagues? Would it be to be on the Cubs again?
Of course.
Of course. Yeah. You still consider yourself a Cub and a Cub fan?
I am a Cub fan.
Cub fan for life.
Yeah. Yeah. I was not a player. Not only a player. I was a Cub fan. So I like the Cubs. I love the Cubs. And you know, I can say I am a die-hard Cubs fan.
There's a lot of Cubs fans who are still diehard Carlos Zambrano fans. You know, one of my favorite moments of yours was when you got ejected, and before you left the field, you threw the umpire out, and you ejected him.
See, that's what I don't want people to know me for. You know, I want people to know me because the effort, the heart that I put in every time I went out there to pitch.
I think your heart came across in that moment. You cared. You wore your heart on your sleeve.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
for good and bad, right?
Yeah. Of course.
And that's what made you must see TV. That's why everyone tuned in to watch Carlos Zambrano. We didn't know if you were going to throw a no-hitter, hit a home run, or
get ejected.
Yeah. Or punch Derek Lee in the face.
No, he's too big, man. No.
Okay, so can you tell me what happened? Give me the full story of what happened. Give me the true story of you and Derek Lee.
Dilly?
Yeah.
Actually, you know, I was pitching that day, and obviously I was pitching that day, and I don't know what happened. I think it was something ground ball to first base, but I want people to know my heart.
Of course,
I want people to. I don't want people to judge me. When that happened, you know, I gave up a home run of Carlos Quintin. So I went to the dugout. What was in my heart was to get my team in the game, because I felt that my team was playing like, you know, with no aim. And I just want to get my team, but I didn't know how to handle the situation. So I start, what I say that moment was, come on, let's go. We're a better team than this. We're a better team and we have to play better. So I did it. And I say it louder. And D. Lee thought that I was talking about him because of the play.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me something, and I say, I'm not talking about you, D. Lee. So that was what happened. That was basically what happened. Just word, you know.
Just words.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big boy. Yeah.
6'6".
Yeah, so are you, though. I mean, I don't see you backing down from anybody.
But, you know, D. Lee was a great teammate. I mean, after what happened, I say, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this or scream. But I wasn't screaming at him or anybody. I was just trying to pump my team and get my team back
sure.
in the game. Because we were a better team than the way we were playing.
Last thing with Carlos Zambrano. What were you doing November 2nd, 2016? What were you doing for Game 7 when the Cubs won the World Series?
I was in Venezuela doing a ministry in the church.
Did you watch the game?
I watched the game. I was watching the game with my the people from the church. And that was exciting. I mean, I was celebrating like another fan, you know. And as you know, I was texting my friends here and in Chicago. They were texting me back, and we were doing a FaceTime. They were showing me, you know, Addison Street, Clark Street. So I was kind of like I was in Chicago, but through the media, social media.
That's awesome. Well, good luck with the comeback, and I could talk to you for hours.
Thank you, sir.
I'd love to get more stories, but come in anytime, and good luck with the dogs, and hope to see you in the big leagues one day again soon, all right?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And amazing work that you're doing here and with Venezuela. It's really admirable. So thank you for your time. Carlos Zambrano, May 17th, the Chicago Dogs home opener. Go to thechicagodogs.com for ticket information. Carlos Zambrano, it's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.